walked in there that day and I stood up and I said, you know what? I'm not going to stand up and say, I'm Mike, I'm an addict and alcoholic anymore. I'm not going to do that. And they're like, what? And they're freaked out.
Yeah.
And I said, no, I'm not going to do it. I said, listen, you guys, we come into these damn rooms 3 times a week and we sit in here for an hour, hour and a half, 2 hours, and we drink 12 pots of coffee, smoke 5 packs of cigarettes, and just bitch about life all day. There's more to life than this. Yeah. This is not where this answer. This is a stepping stone.
Real business. Whatever your situation is currently is not your forever situation.
That's really what real business owners is, man. Like, we don't care where you come from. Yeah. Where are you going?
Our goal and our job is to reduce the mistakes that you have to make or the money that you have to lose.
We created a text hotline just to add value to you guys as listeners. It's 435-515-3577. If you guys have questions, anything to do with your taxes, shoot us a text.
You want to be an entrepreneur, you want to be successful, don't give up.
You learn, adjust, and continue to move forward.
Welcome back to another episode of the Real Business Owners Podcast. Yeah. You got myself. Got Trev Dog.
Oh, yeah. What's up?
And today we have our special guest, our friend, Mike Kimski. I've had the pleasure of getting to know Mike just a few months ago. Yeah. You know, friend of a friend.
And he is a friend of a friend, yes. Yeah. And he's also a friend of a friend that helps a friend move.
Yeah.
And that helps the friend of a friend.
Don't sign
move.
Him up for that. Don't sign up.
Stop this right here. Yeah. That makes me win. Yeah. More
so, than anything else. Like, exactly. Nobody wants to do it. You didn't know Kel, and you helped a friend of a friend. Yeah. So that's how you know the character of the man.
He's a good dude. The cool thing is like, you know, when you meet somebody, right? You're like, dude, those are my people, right? Yeah. Like, that was Mike, man. I was like, this is my kind of dude. And then you get to know somebody. And then John's told me a lot. And then I got to know you through that night and conversations we had. Like, dude, he's done some amazing things. His community, the Power Life Academy, Power Life Principles on Facebook group. I'm a member of that. This guy knows his stuff. He knows personal growth. He knows the mind. He knows how things work. And anyway, he blew my mind that night as we got to know each other. He's out here talking at our event, the RBO Mastermind. Yeah. And even though he's from Texas and we're from Utah and we met in Texas, we're out here in California and he's been kind enough to come out and pour into our groups this weekend. So thank you for that.
Absolutely.
And thank you for being on the show. Yeah. And I'm excited to dive into this today and learn more about what you specifically do because I know it's super valuable.
Awesome, man. Yeah, I appreciate being here. It's always good to be around people that don't suck.
Yeah. it seems like there's more of those type of people out in the world these days.
There's a few. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a
growing group.
And you know what's crazy is I grew up in Utah.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, oh, yeah, that's right.
I was born in California. I grew up in Utah, in Layton. Salt Lake, Layton. Yeah, up north.
Okay.
Yeah.
And you had the harsh winters up there then.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we didn't have the
luxury of St. George.
Yeah, I did, man. I snowboarded all the time. I snowboarded until one time I went off a jump and I crashed and we didn't wear helmets back then. I just smashed my head, man, and slid down the whole mountain, like not knowing what's happening. I'm like, I gotta lay off this shit for a minute. Plus, I hate the cold. So
that's what I can deal with. It's beautiful up there during the spring and the fall, but I couldn't deal. I lived up there for one winter.
Yep.
And it was a cold one.
It's cold.
I tucked tail and went home, dude. Yeah. Back to the desert.
It was a lot of fun. I skateboarded and stuff when I was a kid, too, but snowboarding was all right.
Yeah.
So you were obviously a wild child. If you skateboarded, you snowboarded, you were busting your head open. Usually there's a theme with like successful people, you know, there's a little wild child in them. Did that happen, you know, all growing up? Were you a wild child or... Did you go through a small little phase?
No, it still hasn't stopped.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, man. I've kind of always been an outlaw type of person, a rebel type of person.
Okay.
And, I mean, I had to do that to survive, I think, a lot of ways and make my way through life because of how my life was, because it wasn't great. But yeah, I've always had that streak in me to just kind of like screw the rules and do what I want to do. Yeah.
What wasn't great? What were some of the adversity that you faced?
Oh, God.
Yeah, growing up.
All right. So we're opening Pandora's box right now.
Yeah.
No, it's, you know, a lot of people go through this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But just an alcoholic dad. You know, my parents were miserable. Yeah. My dad didn't want to get married, didn't want a family. And he was an alcoholic. My mom was a drug addict and not a lot of love. I mean, no love, no support, no money, just growing up poor. My parents had to steal food.
You believe going through that set you up for something great in terms of being able to deal with adversity and other situations, maybe self-imposed adversity that you
absolutely. Yeah. That's really the centerpiece of my my dramatic story,
yeah,
which I'll probably tell tomorrow, actually. I never know what I'm going to say, but it led to me putting a loaded 357 Magnum in my mouth and pulling the trigger. That's where I was at. I started doing drugs and drinking when I was like 12 years old.
Wow.
To get away from the pain. Because I remember the first time I drank and I was like, what is this magic shit? Because all my inhibitions went away.
It didn't taste disgusting to you at that age?
It was gross. Oh, yeah. Okay. Gross.
I couldn't. I tried it at 13.
Mm, yeah.
I watched my cousin just slurp it down, dude, like it was a fucking 7-Up.
Yeah.
It was. And I went like this and did a little sip. And I gave it to him. I was like, I can't.
I never acquired a taste for alcohol, but it did what I needed.
It was more
to do.
Where you were going.
I knew what was going to happen. Yeah. When I drank it, my inhibitions went away. My courage went up. I mean, I didn't feel like a piece of shit for the first time in my life. Because growing up, my whole, can I swear on this?
Yeah, of course.
Because my whole life, that's all I heard. You're a piece of shit. You're a loser. You're a fuck up. You're worthless. Mm-hmm. You're stupid. Yeah. You're ugly. You're blah, but never amount to. That's all I heard from my dad my whole life.
Mm.
And so I remember drinking at 12, and I'm like, God, I don't feel like that. So I thought it was like some magic.
Obviously, potion. All of the, as an adult now, you looking back, everything that he said, you could tell that's exactly how he felt about himself.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
You know, he was calling you these things, but that was like literally him doing it to himself. Yep. But it's just easier to say that to somebody else than.
Yeah, he hated himself. I mean, you know, because his life wasn't great either. And he had a really shitty dad and all that kind of stuff too. So kind of just, you know, I broke the cycle, which is awesome.
Yeah.
It just kept going. So my whole life growing up, that's what I heard. And he was miserable. And he watched his brother die in Vietnam.
Mm.
And this is like just a testament to kind of like why, because my dad, I don't think anybody's inherently a bad person.
Yeah.
You know, we just, people don't know, they don't have the tools or resources to kind of figure it out. Some people can find it on their own, like, kind of like I did in the trenches of life. They just never did, never had any desire to. But my dad's brother died in Vietnam, and he watched him. They were helicopter pilots, and they went up, and they didn't have all the fancy shit we have now, and they crashed into each other.
Oh, wow.
My dad watched this happen. And when he got home, his parents said, it should have been you.
Oh, my gosh.
I mean, what does that do to a person? Right
yeah.
There,
yeah.
Know? And so, yeah, he had a pretty rough life growing up, and then he got my mom pregnant. And back then, it's like, you know, you have to marry them, and you have to, like, he didn't want to. He didn't want anything to do with the family. He hated his. He resented his family his whole life, which, you know, and that
tied him down. So there was some resentment maybe towards the whole situation.
Yep. Yeah. A lot of resentment. He blamed all of his misery on his family and everything else. So of course that filtered down, trickled down to his kids.
Yeah.
And he was you know, a little violent, abusive, and
so was there a situation at any point where you just straight cut him off? Do you have still a relationship with him, or what was the, when did you start kind of removing that and making that a part of your past and kind of creating your own life, your own identity outside of these labels that he was placing upon you?
So when I was 3 months before my 17th birthday, I checked myself into rehab. So I got really bad on drugs and alcohol from 12 to almost 17. I pretty much was just whatever you put in front of me. I didn't care what it was. I ate it, smoked it, drank it. I didn't care what it was. Luckily for me, like, meth and all that stuff wasn't real prevalent then at that point in time, because I'm old, so
there's a dude, we're even past that now. I think there's
more
even other
now,
ones that, you know,
so I didn't have any real hardcore stuff, but just like, you know, like, but anyway, so
just the normal
stuff,
acid, mushrooms, weed, cocaine,
coke, and pills, and all that stuff. So, and I didn't care what it was. I took it. In fact, my friend and I both worked at a pharmacy at nighttime doing the janitor stuff. And he stole a giant bottle of Valium from there one night. And I'm like, what's that? He's like, you just take it. It'll make you chill out. I'm like, all right. So he gives me a bottle of these things.
As you're freaking out, as he stole something, here, take this, chill out.
No, this, I didn't know till the next day, but he's giving me these, and I take them, and I'm like, this isn't working. I took some more. These aren't working. I took like 20 of these. I mean, I overdosed on value, like big time overdosed on it. And I somehow ended up getting home on my skateboard. People said I was riding in the middle of the street, like just they're following me in the middle of my street. I don't even remember getting there. And then next thing I remember is I woke up and I'm like, oh shit, it's like 10:30 or 11, whatever. I got to go to school. And I walked upstairs and I'm like, my mom was there. She was always there. She was a permanent fixture on the couch. And I said, I know I'm late. I'll go, whatever. She's like, it's Saturday. I'm like, what the fuck? I came home on Wednesday. I lost like 3 days of my life.
Oh,
my friends
came
over. They were shaking me and poking at me and shit.
Wow.
I don't know how I didn't die doing that. But Yeah, I didn't care. I just wanted to be checked out. I just wanted to be checked out. So
reality is too harsh. Yeah.
I checked myself into rehab when I was 16, and that's pretty much where I started the journey of a different trajectory and different path. And
did you find like a mentor in rehab, or did somebody take you under their wing close like right after that, or was this more of a figure it out on your own type situation?
Kind of both. I had I had a counselor, the first man I ever really trusted in my life besides my sixth grade school teacher. And so I trusted him and I believed him. He helped me a lot. He helped me get through a lot of the stuff, but then ended up like banging my girlfriend. So I was like, all right, man, I don't know what the hell to do anymore. No, like total betrayal.
There goes that.
Whatever. I trusted you, whatever. So, but that doesn't negate or take away all the things he helped me with. You know, he was a flawed person like the rest of us. And he just, you know, he was a drug addict, alcoholic, the whole, I mean, that's the crowd you're in when you're doing that. Right.
Yeah.
And so he had his own issues and problems and so did she. And so they ended up hooking up and I'm like, okay, you're the only two people I trust. So after that happened, I just went and brought them together. And I said, look, you know what? I forgive you guys. Cause if I don't, it's going to kill me. Mm-hmm. And I knew where I wanted to go. So I said, I forgive you guys. And then that really destroyed both of them. Because they couldn't understand how I could do that. I'm like, I just somehow knew if I don't forgive you, I'm done.
Yeah.
And so I did. And then at that point, I kind of moved on and I went to, I remember the last meeting I went to, I was sober for 2 years at the time. I was 18, right around the gun time. And that's a whole different story. But I walked in there and I looked around and I'm like, I stood up. And you know, in these meetings, you go in there and they're great. They're a great support system, a great bridge to get sober, to change your mindset a little bit.
What, like an AA or
NA?
NA
meetings, those, NA, okay. NA. Yeah. And they're a great bridge to like kind of get a new structure of how to think, how to live for a lot of people, and they're a great support system. But I walked in there that day, and I stood up, and I said, you know what? I'm not going to stand up and say, I'm Mike, I'm an addict and alcoholic anymore. I'm not going to do that. And they're like, what? And they all freaked out.
Yeah.
And I said, no, I'm not going to do that. I said, listen, you guys, we come into these damn rooms 3 times a week, and we sit in here for an hour, hour and a half, 2 hours, and we drink 12 pots of coffee, smoke 5 packs of cigarettes, and just bitch about life all day. There's more to life than this. Yeah. This is not where this answer. This is a stepping stone. And they were all, you're going to die. We're going to find you in a gutter. You're going to, I'm the only one that stayed sober. Out of all those people I was going to that stuff with, I'm like, you got to get out of here. You got to change. You have to enhance and expand. And, and there's more to life than just that. So at that point, I kind of, that's when I went on my own path. But that's when all the things converge with my counselor, my girlfriend, and all my friends started doing drugs and drinking again, and I just was completely not really alone. And I'm not going to get into the gun part of it yet, but that's what led to the gun thing, which really was a turning point in my life. At that point, it's a pretty long story. I can tell it, but I'll probably tell it tomorrow too. But I'll tell. I make you guys like, what are you talking about? Like,
what is this gun you thing? Told me a little bit about it. You can't
believe it in Texas. Yeah. So, you know, at that point I was kind of just roaming around, staying in wherever I could stay, just wherever I could crash and stuff. And my friend's mom was in the military and she was deployed. I think it might've been Desert Storm. I don't remember the time it was, but she was deployed and she had some friends that were house sitting for him and his brother. And I said, hey, can I crash here? They said, yeah, you can crash on the couch. I'm like, cool. Well, they were avid hunters and outdoors people. And stuff, so they had all kinds of guns and shit. And my friends would always come over and say, hey, let's go to Denny's, which pretty much meant we're going to go drink a bunch of coffee for 68 cents for one cup and piss off the waitress, keep her tape. Because you can smoke in Denny's at the time, you know. So we go
that's right.
And
yeah.
We'd get like a 68 cent cup or whatever, a dollar pot of coffee, and we just share that shit for 3 hours. And our just check's chill like out $1.20. Yeah, we just chill out and smoke. It's just a place to go hang out. And so I said, no, I don't want to go at this point in time. And I'm going to breeze through this pretty quick because I might get emotional. I might not. I don't know. It depends. But I said, no, I don't want to go. Cause this is when after my counselor, my girlfriend, that happened and just everything was just going to shit. And I didn't know what was happening. And I did all their stuff. I followed all their rules. I did all the steps. I did all the things.
Yeah. I quit and I'm doing all this stuff.
Yeah. And I didn't see my life improving. You know, I was just like, I still feel shitty. I still feel miserable. I'm still like angry and I'm still afraid. And I still believe all the shit that I was told my whole life. Like I'm a piece of shit. I'm a loser. That's still looping in my head. There was nothing to help that. Mm. And so I had all this pain, but I didn't have the drugs and alcohol to numb it anymore.
Yeah.
And I knew the drugs and alcohol wouldn't work anymore. So I'm like, well, what the hell do I do? So I'm sitting there in this massive confusion, and my friends come over. I'm like, no, just go. And I went up to the master bedroom and just sat on the bed, and I just started crying, you know, and I put my face in my hands and my elbows on my knees and just went, you know, in a slouch position on the edge of this bed, just crying. And I'm like thinking, oh, I don't know what to do. You know, mm-hmm. I don't know what to do. I mean, who am I going to call? My fucking parents? I don't have any support. Like, my counselor, my girlfriend, my friends are all, you know, back doing drugs and shit. I don't know what to do. So I felt like completely alone, completely isolated. And a lot of this is my mindset at the time and how I thought about myself what I was told my whole life, you know, about being shitty and all that. And I look under the bed and there's a 357 Magnum because these guys had guns everywhere.
Yeah.
And I just reached under the bed and grabbed it. And I'm like thinking, if this is life, I want my money back. Mm-hmm. This is bullshit. I'm not happy. Everyone's right. I'm never going to have a future. I'm never going to have the thing I want the very, very most is having a family, you know, a family that loves each other and a loving family and being a good dad and being able to be that for my kids. I'm never going to have that. I'm never going to have any money. I'm never going to have anything. I am a piece of shit. I'm a loser. I'm a fuck up. And this is going through my head and I'm holding this gun. I'm like, I can't do this. I can't live like this anymore. And so I pulled the hammer back. And I'm shaking now and I'm shaking and I put the gun in my mouth and I close my eyes real tight. And I'm just thinking to myself, like, this is how bad my self-worth was and self-esteem. I'm like, if I pull this trigger, someone's going to have to clean up my brains off the back of a wall. You are a piece of shit, Mike. Your dad's right. You're not even worthy of life. This is going through my, you know, you suck. You're worthless. Mm-hmm. This is going through my head while I have a fucking 357 Magnum barrel in my mouth with the hammer cocked back and my finger on the trigger. Crying, sweating, snot rolling everywhere, and I'm just terrified. And I open my eyes. I looked at the door, and I'm just like begging, like, please, somebody come in here. I don't care if it's a strung out crackhead just coming in. Hey, you got some crack? I don't care. Someone, just anybody, come in here and just tell me it'll be okay. Because I don't believe that it will be, and I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. I don't know who to call. I'm utterly alone. There's just this vortex of shit and confusion, and I don't know what the hell's happening. And I'm thinking, this world's better without you anyway. Like, what do you do? You're just always, you know, even your dad said, you're not even worthy of breathing other people's air. I'm like, fuck. So I have this, and I'm thinking there, and I'm like, you're not even going to pull it. You can't do this. You can't even do that right because you suck so bad. This is ridiculous. I'm thinking about it. It's sad, actually. It's really sad that someone is in that state. And I'm squeezing the trigger really lightly, really gently, really lightly, really gently. I'm like, am I going to do this? I don't know. I'm just a shit storm of stuff going on. My whole body is just in like hyper overdrive of shock and everything. And I pull the trigger and the hammer drops. And I open my eyes, I pull the gun out. I'm like, am I dead? I don't know what being dead's like. I've never been dead before. I don't know if I'm dead. What the fuck is this? And so I feel my head. I'm like, what the hell's going on? You know, everything's intact. And I'm like, shit. And I look at it and I look at the gun and I'm like, what the hell's going on here? And I pull it. The primer on the bullet was defective. So it didn't ignite the gunpowder and the bullet didn't fire. So I threw the gun and I scurried away from it as fast as I could, terrified, hit my head on the wall. And I'm like, oh, now my head hurts. This is kind of funny. But I was just trembling so bad, so much shit going on. Like, I shake when I tell the story, so much stuff going on. I didn't know what the hell to do. I couldn't even stand up for I don't know how long, but finally when I could stand up, I got up and I'm like, I got to move. And I just started walking. I lived in this shitty ass place I lived in like a kind of a ghetto rundown shit place. And I'm walking and walk. I don't know how long I walked, 10 miles, 20, I have no idea. But I walked long enough to where I started to get dusk. And I was in this field walking. And they used to have these old incandescent lights that used to shine up on billboards before all the fancy new LED shit.
Oh, yeah.
And they get all crusty and orange and shit. Yeah. Yeah. And so I'm walking and I don't know why. I look up and I see this like orange light. I don't even know what the hell the billboard was. And that orange light. It wasn't anything significant about the orange light. It just gave me a focal point. It gave me something to like focus on for a minute instead of all this crazy, chaotic, haphazard thoughts and all this shit going on that I couldn't even pin down anything. And I stopped. I looked at that light and I just stared at it for a minute. I calmed down enough to go, okay, man, that something's got to change. And so I literally looked around and I'm like, that's it. And I said, everything you want in life is out there, Mike. You've seen it. You've seen people that have love.
You've seen people that are happy. You've seen people have money. You've seen people have joy, and you've seen people have success and achievement, significance, and all these things, and toys and fun and whatever. All this, it's all out there. It's all out there. Maybe you got a raw deal. Maybe you didn't, but it's all out there, and you're living on borrowed time. So I took a step, a physical step to the side, and I looked over, and I said, you just killed the guy that pulled that trigger and gave birth to this man. Who is he? I'm the same dickhead I was 5 seconds ago. Nothing's changed except for I made a decision to go out in this world and figure out how this works, our minds work, our hearts work, our bodies. How the fuck do we work? How do you change this stuff? What's the core fundamental principle-based things that make us work as human beings? And I literally went through and just poked sticks at shit, lifted up rocks, and how does all this work? And I was my own human guinea pig. I didn't know there were people like me, people like, you know, us that help people, and I had no idea at that point in time. So I just started like testing stuff, and I mean, and one of the first things I remember, the first things that really got me, like I thought I was a wizard. I was at a job interview at Dairy Queen to make hamburgers. Okay, I'm not building fucking.
You thought you were a wizard?
Oh yeah, when I
at Dairy Queen.
Yeah, well, because I'm in there and I'm pacing back and forth, and the same shit's happening. You know, I'm still sober.
Don't tell me you came up with the blizzard.
I did. I am. If you came up with the blizzard, that's why I'm a wizard.
Then I, dude. Then you wizard. Are the blizzard wizard.
I did the test with the spoon and the whole thing.
You invented the upside. Yeah, hey, look, if we add a little bit more concentrate,
I don't think they had blizzards back then. But so I'm interviewing for a cook, make hamburgers, and I'm walking back and forth, pacing back and forth. The same shit's happening. You're a piece of shit. You're not worthy. You don't even deserve this job. You can't even do it. You suck. But all that shit's happening. Mm-hmm. And I'm walking. I'm like, God damn it! I got so pissed. And when I was in rehab, I worked out on punching bags.
Mm-hmm.
Because I was angry. I was like, so it was great for me. I still do it today, actually. But I just got to the point where I stopped and I was like, God damn it. I got in a boxer stance, you know, while I was, and I was like, why do I feel better? Why all of a sudden I feel like I'm not as afraid. I'm not as insecure. Vulnerable.
Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like way stronger or whatever. And it's because that link with working out on bags, I always felt better afterwards. I forgot, you know, I was focusing my energy and I felt strong and I felt all that stuff. I'm like, this is crazy. So I put my hands down. I'm like, oh, here it comes again. Holy shit. And it just started flooding in again. I'm like, what is this madness? So I ended up getting the job. And then I went home. I'm like, okay, I have got, and this is when I'm like poking through life, trying to figure out how we work. And I don't, and there's a name for this. And I loved it when I discovered later in life, like, oh my God, I'm not crazy. This shit has names. People actually know this stuff. And so, but it gives it such validity because the way I learned it was like literally through the trenches of life.
Yeah.
It wasn't like I read it from a book and like, I'm going to try that. No, I just like was doing it. Like I stumbled upon it.
Yeah.
And so I go home. I'm like, all right, do this. So I look at, I'm like, let's just, can I really change how I feel with my body? So I'm like, okay, look in the mirror. I'm like, get mad. So I'm looking in the mirror and I'm like, and I'm really good at being mad. Really good. I'm like, and I'm like, I'm going to kill somebody. I'm like, why? Why are you mad? You're in a bathroom. You know, I was looking for someone just to beat the shit out of them. I'm like, oh, okay, calm down. All right, now try being happy. I sucked at being happy. I barely even smiled. I was always like angry and angry face. And I barely even smiled. So I'm like, I'm doing this. I'm looking in the mirror. I'm like, okay, be happy. And I'm like, this fake smile. And I'm like, And then there's this part of me is going, you're a dumbass, dude. You're such an idiot. This is so stupid. And this part, like, fuck you, shut up. And so there's this battle going on, like the devil and angel on my shoulders. Like, just keep doing it. Shut up. I'm like, And it felt like 6 years, probably like 30, 45 seconds in. I'm like, And all of a sudden, everything just like softened up. And I'm like, what is this? And my face muscles softened up. My eyes actually started to smile. I smiled and I started laughing. I'm like, oh my God. And I felt it. And I'm like, I'm happy. For what? I'm in the bathroom still. There's no reason. I'm like, holy shit. And I was like, you're a wizard, dude. You just figured out how like life works and shit. You're like a wizard. I thought I was like the ultimate, like whatever, like little Yoda or something. And so I started to practice that over and over again. I'd just get present. And this is really where Highest Energy Wins, Principle One, came from, is derived from this whole process. Mm. This is years of me doing this, not like a couple of days, like years of like, what does this do? What does that do? How do I do this? Yeah. And I started to link, and it's called what, kinesthesiology, I think is the word for it now or whatever. It's got some title, but, and so I started doing that. I'm like, okay, so if I get scared or whatever, I plant my feet and I get my posture right. I'm like, okay, I feel more confident. Wow, this is crazy. So I figured that there's a link to our mind and to our energy that we can't see, and our body, our energy that we actually can feel and touch, which makes it so much easier to do something. Because like when you're just thinking about stuff, like if you're quitting smoking, it's easy. You can crumple them up and throw them away. There's something there.
But when you're changing how you think, it's invisible. You're like, what do you do? Like, how do you kick that shit out of there? There's nothing to do. But so when you can link it to your body, I was like, oh my God, this is so much better and so much easier. And so I started to just play with this, man, and like learn it and whatever and all this stuff. And it was great. And it worked. It didn't work forever. It worked for a certain amount of time. And that's when the other principles started to develop. But that whole process of me doing that really let me become self-empowered at the very, very, very lowest and first level. And it's so simple. It's so basic. That's why people kind of like don't think about it, because it's hidden in plain sight.
It's got to be way more difficult to change.
Stretch your shit out. You feel different instantly. Like you go to the gym a lot. You know, when you work out, you're like, and you push a certain way. You're like, you know, you feel that. You feel the emotional thing and the biochemical reactions in your mind and your body and all this shit happening in your cellular structure. You can feel it.
Yeah.
And if you train yourself to do this enough, you pretty much become able to instantly command confidence or whatever it is that you need. If you reference to what your other parts of times in your life when you felt that, like that's what that feels like. Boom, boom, boom. And you can get it like really fast.
Yeah.
It helps you go through life without getting your ass handed to you all the time.
Right.
You know, and you feel better. You feel better about yourself and you become more attractive to people.
Yeah.
Because there's that strength and everybody's drawn to that. Like, I don't know what it is about. You're confident. I'm like, I am. Okay, I don't know. You don't know. You know, you don't know yourself.
Yeah.
You know, like rock stars are
from
up there
a third party
jamming up there, and they're not thinking, I'm a badass. They're like, fuck, did I leave my iron on? You know, like, did I feed my fucking dog today?
They're probably like, do I look fucking cool right now?
Yeah,
they're like self conscious too.
Yeah, exactly.
Just like anybody.
But everyone else is like, raw. You're God.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
But people see like, them, but you don't see yourself that way, right? So, but you feel it.
Yeah.
And that's the first step. That's the first part of it. And that's what kind of gave birth to the rest of these things unfolding as I just kind of developed them over years.
What's crazy is how self-aware you really were. Like, because so many people aren't, right? Like, I had to have my ex-wife cheat on me. It felt like freaking punch in the stomach and it felt like shit. And then she had to drag me into therapy and I was resistant and all this shit for someone to tell me I was angry. I didn't fucking know. Yeah. Completely unaware. Yeah. But you're like, holy shit. Like you're like, you know, using yourself, like you said, as a guinea pig to actually like kind of figure out all of your principles to really come up with this idea of like, holy shit, like I can actually choose happiness. I can choose anger. I can like, holy shit. Like I can't control everything in my world, but I can control my attitude and what I think and how I respond and how I react and my attitude and my emotions. Like I really can't control all that shit. And I had to go to like years and years of like therapy and learn it from somebody else. And you're over there like creating your own recipe.
Yeah.
And that's pretty freaking badass.
It was. And I'll tell you, it wasn't easy.
Yeah.
It wasn't easy.
Yeah. Yeah. But it usually always stems from a very low point. Like where it's so, so low and it's so, so painful that you're willing to try anything but live another day the way that you've been living.
I don't recommend anyone do it the way
and
I did.
So, but for whatever reason, like that is the pattern.
Yeah.
Like
human
beings, if they ride the middle, they don't evaluate self enough to even make a change because it's not bad enough.
Yep.
Right. And so it's like, we have to get to this weird, just shitty point. And I think everybody in life's going to hit a shitty point.
Yep.
It doesn't fucking matter who you are. I don't think anybody's shielded from that. The question is what do you do when you're at the shitty point? Are you going to put the lab coat on and start trying new shit, even if it seems weird to that version of yourself?
Yeah.
Well, that version of yourself, it doesn't matter what the fuck they think because they haven't got it done.
You're done. I mean? Yeah. You're on borrowed time.
Like you can see that version of you can call it weird, but that version of you's not getting it done. So go do weird shit so that you can figure yourself the fuck out. You know what I mean?
It's such a cool thing I've been doing this for 30 plus years. So at times I forget a lot of it because I'm just like, I take it for granted because it's just such a common, I don't think about it.
Your daily.
Just how I am.
It's normal.
So, yeah, it's my normal.
You're not having to force it like you did initially to create that person.
And there's this, and I did it for a year straight. And I would never recommend anybody do it the way I did it because chances are it's not going to work, especially the gun thing. Nobody do that. Don't fucking do that.
Don't try this at home.
Don't try that at home. It's the stupidest shit you ever. Yeah. I am a lucky son of a bitch, but the whole thing, and for a year straight, I literally went, this is why I became so self-aware. I started to analyze that connection. I'm like, well, what else is there? And then there's these words, right? Words, all these things like you're shitty, you're fucked up, blah, blah, blah. And that's what created the whole duality idea of me, like the contrast and duality. Well, I'm shitty. So what is not shitty? Great. Well, fuck. I mean, that shitty actually helps me identify what's not shitty. So I can go, thanks, shitty. I'm going to focus on great. Right. And then highest energy wins and the whole thing starts to expand.
Right.
But for a year, I went over every single word that went through my head, every chance I got, like, I'm hungry. Stop. What's I'm? It's a conjunction for what I am. What is I? Mike. What's Mike? Man. My name. And I just went down each. Okay. What's am? It's a thing pointing to me. I don't know. And I went and each one of these things, like every word, I just like attacked it as deep as I possibly could go. And I noticed the sensations in my body where I was feeling something. What would tense up? What would loosen up? What would light up? What would constrict or contract with these words? And I'm like, words are just capsules of data and we ascribe meaning to them as we need to. And we get that obviously from people in our lives. Like, you know, you're like, if you walk in every day and you have a dog and you're like, fuck, oh my God, fuck, fuck, fuck. And your dog's like, yay. But if you walk in and fuck, and they know that that's associated with that energy, that word, it's just a word. It doesn't mean shit. It's just a way to get data out. But that dogs are a great litmus test for this. I did that for a year. It was exhausting. And I couldn't do it now. I mean, especially like with now my kids are all grown up. I'm a grandpa, but the kids and families, you can't do that shit. I was just by myself and had the time to do it. But it made me super aware of like little tiny changes in like how, where I'd feel some tension in my forehead or like literally like my butt muscle or my calf or whatever. I could feel everything happening.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, this is what this feels like. What is the meaning I'm ascribing to that? And what perspective is making that happen? Boom. Principle 3 is born. And that whole thing just kind of unfolded from all this stuff. Yeah. But yeah, it takes, and this is the beauty of it though. As you see this play out in yourself and other people throughout the decades, actually, you look at nature and it's really a self-correcting system. We don't have to do shit, but just survive and live. Because if you go too far on either end of the spectrum, too far in the darkness or too far in the light, you're like, oh, the light. Hold on there.
It's too bubbly.
Yeah, hold on there, like Chakra Susan. Listen. You can't just have the light, because if you do, you guys, well, you don't live in the snow, Utah, but if you've ever been in a whiteout, what happens? Everything disappears.
Right.
There's no contrast. There's no dimension. You don't know how deep, you don't know if you're going to walk and hit your fucking shin on something because you can't see it. And so if it's too light, then it starts to cause pain in the sense of you lose your connection to humanity.
Right.
Because you're actually like almost like expanding so much, there's no substance left to anymore, because you need that darkness. You need that contrast in the spectrum. And so that pain will make you come back to where you have more connection to humanity. If you go too far on the dark side, same thing. It's just like a crushing, crippling pain. And it is so much, you either choose to end it like I did, which solves the problem, or it doesn't really, it's not a great solution, but it solves the problem of that balance of energy.
Yeah.
Or you do something different and you move again closer, because when you go too far, the same thing happens. You lose connection to humanity. You isolate and you wear your happy face sticker. Yeah, everything's fine, but inside you're fucking dying, dying inside. So many people like suffer in silence, but that pain makes you go back to this zone. So the thing I think people do is they don't really, they like you said, they ride that middle, which is a great place to create and build a life. But to expand and to know yourself, you've got to like, it's another principle. It's a successive progression. So you're always going to ride this wave. Everything's energy. It's just a wave.
Yeah.
But the trajectory is what matters.
And so
if it's just a tiny bit up, then you're going to be having an expansive life. If it's the other way, I call it recycle energy. You're basically on your way out.
Mm-hmm.
And we can choose that. For the most part, I mean, obviously, as we get older, we're kind of deteriorate and rot a little bit. But while we have it, we get to choose that, and it's just a trajectory. And all you got to do is say, you just need a target, something to focus on. If it's a business, if it's a relationship, it's a money goal, it's a fitness goal, some target. It doesn't have to be cataclysmic. It doesn't have to be something that's like, I'm going to change the fucking world. Well, yeah, start with you, but maybe, you know, people, you know, all these people, I'm going to impact a billion lives.
Yeah,
maybe. But, you know, it could be something like, you know what, today I'm going to make the perfect fucking ham sandwich. I know that sounds stupid or elementary or even silly, but it's not, because you have that focus. And when you have that focus, it takes all this energy. Like if you take the sun, it's a big ass fucking thing, shooting energy everywhere, all the way 360 degrees. Take a magnifying glass, put on there, you're going to burn shit down. You can burn a building down with a focused energy, with a condensed focus, narrowed focus.
Yeah.
So when you have the ham sandwich, for example, your focus now is like, whoo,
on this thing. And then it starts to activate the whole creation process of how you work with your mental, your emotional, your physical aspects, and the whole thing starts to unfold. And then you have all this power to do whatever. And if you do it with the ham sandwich or with the money goal, whatever, you can do it with anything.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of work.
Yeah.
It's never just like push this button and wave Harry Potter's magic wand and stick a crystal up your ass. Everything's going to be great.
Yeah.
It's not how it works. We all know that.
I haven't tried it, so
I don't, you know, knock it until you try it.
If you get it to work, man, let me know. I'm the first person in line.
I'm just a little gun shy still.
You know, the last part really makes me pucker up.
I gotta know, like, okay, first of all, well, your stories, first of all, are cool because, like, I think a lot of people, I know I can relate to them, right? So I'm, like, picturing you through all of those situations and scenarios and testing things, and I'm like, okay, like, I could, like, see it as you were explaining it all, so that was cool. But at what point were you like, I gotta fucking teach this to other people, right? Because that's mainly your business now. Yeah. Like, you're, like, teaching people that can relate with all the shit that you've been through of, like, dude, you do have a choice. Like, you can actually choose this whole other path, and it's freaking awesome. Let me teach you. Like, how did you get to that point?
I just, from a little kid on, I felt this. I've been called, but yeah. I can't even fucking pretend to be that way. I felt this need to do this, this connection to whatever. I've always felt like really connected to nature, and I felt like there was just something I had to do. I didn't know what it was or how to do it. And then as I went through my life, this is principle 11, pass the torch. I started to see, like, I would elevate, but nobody around me would.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, man, I need like a bigger playground. I need better cleats and shit. Like, I'm stronger now. I've grown. I need better stuff. And then people would ask,
dude,
what are you doing? I'm like, I don't know. It's just weird shit. Just do this. And that happens. I didn't have any names for it at the time. I was just like, just do this. And this kind of shit happens.
Yeah.
And they'd do it. I'm like, man, that worked. Like, it helped me with my relationship or helped me with my job or whatever, that kind of stuff. I'm like, yeah, I don't know what the fuck's happening. It just works, you know, because I didn't put it together yet. Then one day I just said, you know what? I'm going to go do a workshop. No idea what the hell I was doing. I didn't know shit about speaking. I'm still not a professional speaker. I'm like, hey, how you doing? I don't know what I'm going to say, but I'll figure it out. You know, I don't have anything. I'm never scripted. I just kind of go with what I go with. But I said, I'm going to do a workshop, and I didn't know anything about it. So I went to like a seminar type thing. I'm like, I just got to see what these people do. I have no idea. So I went to it. And while I was there, the marketing guy that was running it was auditing it. And so I'm watching this thing, and I'm like, actually probably participating more with the people than the speaker.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, do this and this and this and this. And he got really mad at me. I'm like, I don't mean to hijack your shit, dude, because I didn't know I was like that guy at the time. Yeah. But I'm like, okay, sorry. But the marketing guy was a super, super awkward, shy guy. And I had a family, and, you know, I'm a loud, big person sometimes. And he was really meek and quiet. And he's such a sweet kid. Took everything he had to come up to me during a break. And he had his head down. He's like, hey, you're the kind of guy people want to be friends with. I'm like, what? He goes, you're the kind of guy people want to be friends with. I'm like, let's be friends, dude. He's like, what? I'm like, yeah, let's go get lunch. So we go get lunch, and he puts his head down. And he's like shoveling mac and cheese in his face. I'm like, you can look up.
Yeah, you under there?
Yeah, he was so, so scared and insecure. It took everything he had to ask me. He was so, so, so scared. And then come to find out, he was the marketing guy. Yeah. And then we got to be friends. He didn't know anything about me. We got to be friends. He's like, you like basketball? I'm like, yeah, I like basketball. And he lived in Dallas. I lived in Utah at the time. He's like, I have season tickets. You want to come see the Mavs game? I'm like, yeah, man. So I went out there and saw Mavs games with him. And we started to hang. He came to Utah a couple of times. And then he asked me, he's like, hey, I really want to get like a relationship, a girlfriend, whatever. What do I do? I'm like, I mean, you can start by moving your arms when you walk. That would be a little bit helpful. Cause he's like very rigid. But anyway,
it's 2022 Tinder, dude.
Yeah,
they swipe. They pick swipe. You. Yeah. You don't got to do nothing. You're sitting on your couch and you're letting people know you're available.
I wish that. No, this is before any of that stuff. But he, and then we started talking one day, and I kind of like let him into the story and stuff. And he's just like, you need to write a book. I'm like, write a book? I'm a high speed data tech. Yeah. Like, what are you talking about? Like, you need to write a book. And I'm like, all right, well, I did a workshop or two. I'm like, I don't know how to write a book. I'm not an author. He's like, you need to write a book. He's like, write a book. We'll market it. We'll do all that stuff for you. Cause he had a marketing team. Right. And I'm like, okay, whatever. So I locked myself in my room for a few weeks, wrote my book, and I'm like, all right, cool. And then he just helped me do it. And then this is, and I still didn't know.
I'm like, I'm just a high-speed data tech. I'm not like a Yoda guy.
Yeah.
What is this shit? I still don't feel like that. Yeah. But we launched it, and it went our first month. I don't know what revenue. We did something like 29 grand or something our first month with just like the book, like a little $47 product.
That's
so
great.
It was good. Yeah. And I'm like, what the hell? Cause to me, I'm like, holy shit, dude. I'm used to getting like an hourly wage. That's a lot of money. Like, how you do this? I'm like, that's kind of cool, but I don't even care. Then the feedback started coming in.
Yeah.
And it literally went global, like in 60 something countries in the first 90 days before social media, because it's real. Cause it's just like, it's not some guy like, listen to me regurgitate the shit that I read. Look at me. I'm a guru. I want to be invisible. I don't even want to be known. I don't want the spotlight. I hate it.
Yeah.
I'm just like, just do this shit and go live your life and like, leave me alone. I never have liked that. I never wanted that. So when that happened, I'm like, oh, I guess I'm doing this. So I never really kind of like decided to do it. It kind of just kind of came together, you know? And then I got invited to go on tour with Mark Victor Hansen and Jim Rohn before he died and Harvecker and a few other people. There's like a big world tour they were doing.
Yeah.
And my friend's like, yeah, man, they know your stuff. They want you to come on tour. So I'm like, oh, they're coming to Dallas. I'll go check it out. And I went to it. And it's so funny, man. I went to it and I watched, I think it was Mark Victor Hansen speaking at the time. And I walked in and I'm like, and he's just like, oh, me, roar, roar. And I'm like, dude, this is fucking gross. I want nothing to do with this. He's like, what? And I'm like, nope. He's like, dude, this is millions of dollars. I'm like, I don't give a shit. I don't care. It's gross to me. I don't want to be on a pedestal. I'm just a person like everybody else. I just happen to like be given the choice of die or figure it out. So that's where I went with it. Right. And so I don't want that. I don't want that. I don't want to do it. So I turned that down. And then I just like, I never really blew it up too much because it was just like, my marketing team, they actually like went to do other stuff. They tried to sell me.
Yeah.
I'm like, what are you, pimps? I'm not for sale.
Pretty much. And so, they're pimping you out.
Yeah. Yeah. And so I'm like, all right, whatever. And then I had to, like, they left. And I had to figure out marketing. And then I started hating it because it's not what I do.
Right.
The marketing, the sales, the structure, the business stuff, not what I do. That's not what I think. But I had to do that to keep the business going. So I started to get jaded to it. And then the whole thing with like, and then I started to learn the self-help world. I'm like, what the fuck are these people doing? And The Secret came out. And I'm like, no. And people are like talking to me like, Mike, I my whole life fell apart and blah, blah, blah. I'm like, well, what are you doing? Well, I'm putting out intention and I'm attracting. I'm like, what are you doing? That's what I'm doing. I'm like, what the fuck are you, what are you talking about? And I'm like, that's not how this works. Like so I started to see it just kind of unravel. And I mean, I don't want to sound like an asshole, but just almost like the abuse of the human soul and spirit with some of the stuff in this industry.
Mm.
And it made me sick.
Yeah.
Like I didn't get in here to do this kind of shit. There are good people in this world who have a lot of potential and they have a good hearts and they want to help. They want to be a better husband or father or wife or mother or whatever it is. And they just need some support. They don't need someone giving them some magic fucking pill or whatever. They need someone standing over above their weight going, you got this. I'm here. I'm going to spot your ass. I'm not touching that shit because you're strong enough to do it. Here's how.
Yeah.
Here's an awareness, first of all, of the power that you are, not that you have. Here's how to access it. Here's how to amplify it. Here's how you do that. And if you do this, which it's very simple stuff, it's not easy, but it's simple. Like a push-up's very simple. It's not easy. People haven't done one, right? But
right.
I'm like, if you do this, this will happen. And it's guaranteed. I've never, ever, ever seen it in 30 years not work. It's not because I'm a wizard or I'm smart. I didn't even create or invent this shit. This is just the principles of nature of how we work. So I never wanted to be that guy. I always wanted to be that guy. So it's always been kind of a never really blown up. And I've had people come in and say, this needs to blow up. And I'm like, yeah, we got to be careful though, because I watch the self-help industry just wreck people, just wreck them, wreck their lives because they're teaching them. Like here's a good example. Yoda, there is no try. There's only do or do not. There is no try.
Right.
People are like, yeah, man, fuck yeah, high achiever, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, no, that's not right. Yoda's a fucking idiot. He's a little green puppet. It's not right. What do you mean? You either did it or you didn't. Ugh. I'm like, okay, take off your fucking bear pelt for a minute. Calm down and listen. How the fuck do you think you do anything? You try. You walk up to the plate. Someone throws a ball. You swing. You try to hit it. Yeah, but you didn't. Right. But you tried to.
So if you keep doing that over and over again, you're going to get muscle memory. You're going to get like a better stance. You're going to adjust and understand how your muscles are working, your hand-eye coordination. You're going to get better, better each time this happens. Each time you try, you get closer to doing. And then there's the other quote. If at first you don't succeed, try again. Well, which one is it, you fuckers? Like, you're confusing the hell out of everybody.
Yeah.
And these people are, and they just take these little quotes and they this is the way it is. But it's not. It's all out of context and it's incomplete because a lot of these people either don't know or they're bamboozling people or they're just fucking lazy.
Right.
And they don't want to be like, they want to be the parent to say, do as I say, not as I do. They don't want to be the example. So I'm just like, this is gross to me. I don't want to be a huge part of it. And then I started to fight it a little bit. And I'm like, this is exhausting. I don't want to do that either. But you know, the whole thing is there's just a lot of good people out there and that this industry, which I'm doing now. I'm like, I'm ready. I raised my family. Cause that's another thing too. I raised a family. I'm a grandpa now. I got two adult children. And I'm like, yeah, it's time. It's time for me to like step into this arena a little bigger because I don't have to, it won't take away from my kids and my family. So, but there's just so much of this stuff in this self-help world that sounds neat. And it sounds like sometimes I'm like, fuck, if that's real, sign me up, man.
Yeah.
Where can I just like burn some sage and like scratch myself with a fucking magic piece of white oak and all of a sudden money's raining out of the sky. Where's this shit at?
I'll try.
Just manifest a new
I'll let you know. Like I said, I'm open to it.
Yeah. Even manifesting. Yeah. That all these words are bastardized. Manifesting. It's like people are like, it's magic. Manifesting literally means, if you look it up, to make aware to the senses, especially sight. So manifesting is nothing more than awareness. And awareness is one of the power life principles.
Yeah.
And if you look at it like, again, like something I teach in some of my courses is like about the formula of how to make this work. How do you expand your awareness and how to expand that awareness creates more opportunity. But everything that we need, everything that we possibly could ever have, is already fucking here. There's nothing delivered. There's no universe delivering all this shit. It's all here. It's all here in the raw materials. This microphone used to be part of the earth somewhere. This table used to be a tree.
Right.
All the shit's here. And we get the gift of being like, fucking with it and figuring out, manipulating it. How do I turn this sand into the see-through glass? Like all this, it's all here.
Right.
And it's only through living life actively that you're able to like figure out if you put Mentos in Diet Coke, it makes a propulsion system. You know what I mean?
Somebody had to fuck with it. That's right.
Like, and just these people that out ayahuasca, whatever. There's like 18 different ingredients from different. How the fuck? Who figured this out?
How many people died on the way to figure out?
Exactly.
This is the exact proportion.
And why were they doing it? Because they're whatever. But the whole point is that like the manifest is just a bastardized word that takes this very basic concept that's also very powerful, but it makes it so people. It sprinkles so much pixie dust and glitter on it that people think that something is supposed to happen without them doing shit. Doesn't work that way. And I tell people this all the time. There's all these tools, meditation, release technique, all these personal development, spiritual tools and stuff. And they're great. They augment you, but tools are worthless without you. Like a tool is only as powerful and effective as a person using it.
Right.
If you take a person who is like can't even pick up an axe and a person who can, the same axe, it seems like it's a better tool, but it's not.
I'll give a good example. I couldn't put a barbecue together, so I had a homie do it with the exact same tools.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Ain't shit changed, except for the man.
Yep.
Sat in an office a little too long.
I've never seen a wrench put a barbecue together by itself.
Nah.
It's always the person, right? So people give so much credence to these tools. Like meditation is a big one. It's just like people are like, yeah. And I understand the benefit of it. Mm-hmm. I don't personally meditate, but I understand the benefit of it. I understand what it does for people. I understand how it helps people. I understand the value of it.
Yeah.
But don't give the tool the credence because you're the power making the tool work.
Yeah.
Mm. And I always say that you're the power. You're the power. It's not out there. It's not this shit. It's not that tool. It's not this thing. It's not some magic hack or some fucking whatever. It's you.
Yeah.
It's always you.
Right.
And so when you look at all this industry and this process and all these like bastardized words and all this stuff, it's just confusing.
Yeah. Stop looking for the success fairy and realize that you are the success fairy. Yeah.
And exactly. And then even deeper than that, like get to the point where, what do you want? Like, I need to make $100 million. Why? Cause some fucking guy said that. Maybe you don't want that. Your number is your number and it's perfectly fine for you.
Yeah.
If that's 100,000, if it's 75,000, as far as income, it's great. You don't need to do it because people get so caught up in all this stuff, man. And it's just like lots of noise.
Yeah.
And what gets me the most in this is just, it's sad to me because there's people that are really good people
that are just confused out of their wits' end, and they spend all this time and energy and money, and they get some progress from it, some benefit from it, but it's just like, if we could just cut through all that shit and like literally just do this, and then at that point, I don't teach specifics. I'm not like here's a 17 fucking point map on how to make $1 million. Here's the 5 steps on how to eat to lose weight. I don't teach specifics. Yeah. I talk about the thing that makes it happen. You,
right?
Like let's empower this, because, I mean, pretty much the basics for making money are like add value, sell shit,
right?
Lose weight, move, drink water, and eat some green shit. Like it's all, you know. I mean, I know there's way deeper nuances, and you get into the chemistry and everything, but the basics of it's pretty much the same. But it's never going to work until the person using the tool is able and capable, has the aptitude and the energy and the strength and the confidence to use a tool the right way. Right. Once they do that, they can take a saw and cut the shit out of boards all day long.
Right.
You know how to measure.
Put barbecues together.
Exactly.
Whatever.
Whatever. Yeah.
How often do you, with working with people, like how often is it that people are like, they think they know what they want, but it's not what they really want? And is that what you do? Is kind of figure out like, you know, what is it that you really want?
That's the first
instead of what you think you want, right? Based on all this outside bullshit, right?
It's a hard one, man, because there's so much noise and people don't know. So they think, oh, I'm supposed to be a fitness model. No, you're supposed to be healthy and feel good. And if for you that's a fitness model, then by all means do it. Not everybody's going to have that kind of like level of, and even there, it's like, you can only be that for a little while. You got to have a little bit of fat. You can't have like 2% body fat and like live your life that way. You fucking die. But I guess maybe you could, I don't know, but the people.
Seems like some of them have been around for decades. Supermodels.
Oh yeah.
So they're still surviving.
They're still eating
cotton balls.
At least in the pictures, they've been around for decades.
Yeah. Yeah. Who knows if they're still alive. Yeah. It's digital.
They did one photo shoot, dude. Yeah. There was like 4,000 pictures with different bikinis and shit. Like,
yeah. They're getting decades out of it.
Yeah. Decades.
Models are going to be a thing of the past. They're just going to digitize everything.
Exactly. So yeah, people don't know. And that's, it's a simple question. Really hard to answer. Like, what do you want? Right. Hard for me to answer sometimes. Yeah.
Me too.
And so it's ever evolving. And I think that's why it's important to ask yourself that frequently.
Yep.
So yeah, I mean, because everybody's going to go through evolution. The idea is to evolve.
Yes.
Therefore, if you're evolving, your goals and your dreams and all of that would evolve too. It's just like back in the day, we would talk about, man, it'd be really cool to sell a company for like 30 or 40 million. We're not talking about that anymore. It's like, if we did, we're talking about 200 million, 300 million for it. You know what I mean? Yeah. Because our minds have expanded. We have evolved. So therefore, what we want has also evolved, right?
Yep.
Or de-evolved in some cases. You might have wanted this, but then you're like, no, that was programming from TV that, in order to be successful, I had to wear a suit and do this and drive that and live here. And, you know, some of that programming that you have to de-involve.
Brilliant. Right? Yeah.
So
yeah,
brilliant it's point. Just odd itself over and over. And one thing I noticed about you as you were, when you were talking, is you continued to say, well, that feels off. And then I would do that. And then, so you were continuing to go back up to how it made you feel.
Yes.
Right. And that's a sense of just auditing self, right? Yes. You're just doing it maybe, you're doing it a lot more frequently than just like every so often when it comes to goals. You're auditing self and how you feel, which is a lot different. I don't think people feel as much as they used to because there's so many distractions. You don't need to feel. Look at this or watch this or play this game or this watch this series or whatever it is, right? Like, when is the last time when is the last time you had an hour alone?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Alone.
With no phone. Alone.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, and what's scary is a lot of people, like, if they wanted to try to answer that question, they don't know when the last time they were alone for an hour.
Right.
So how could you ever even audit how you feel if you're constantly distracted?
Yep.
And that's exactly what the system wants you to do.
Yep.
So
it's a great point.
Congratulations. You're a statistic of the system and it's working perfectly.
Something you said is something that's so overlooked too. Cause it's like, what do you want? And of course you're going to evolve. Of course that's an ever changing thing. Yeah. It's like everything's dynamic.
What's the next benchmark?
But then also it's not just about gaining. Yeah. It's also about getting rid of.
Yeah.
And so because there are people and the process, we go through the same process every single time. And I use the concept of the principle of duality. Because if you, it's inevitable. Every time I go somewhere and ask someone what they want, and if I'm speaking or whatever, well, I don't like my job. I don't want to be broke. I don't like my relationship. I wish this person would be that way or that way. I'm like, okay, that's everything you don't want. What do you want? And it's just like if I were to take you and poke a pin in your arm, the rest of your body disappears. But that part, that pain part, is going to be pronounced, and you're going to focus on it.
Yeah.
So I say, why not? Why don't we just use the way, the momentum of nature? It's so much easier to focus on what you don't want. Like I make a picture of a target. If you ever play darts or throw axes or whatever, the outer ring's the easiest one to hit.
Right.
So we start there. What don't you want? Make an exhaustive list of everything you fucking hate. It's a free-for-all bitch session. Go crazy. Go nuts. Everything you hate. Everything
you've
you
had a lot of practice. This is the big game. Lay it out.
Get rid of it, man. Let it. And then like, what? But then the law of attraction says, shut up. Listen, not shut up. That was rude. Yeah, shut up. Put that shit aside for now. We're gonna put it in a little box. Nothing. The universe isn't coming. The boogeyman. The universe isn't coming to get you because you're talking about what you don't want. People get so afraid of that shit in self-help in the spiritual world. Like, no. All we're doing is making an exhaustive list as best you can. Why? Because it's a treasure trove. Because when you superimpose the duality partner of that, I don't want to be broke. I want to be rich. I don't want to feel like a loser. I want to feel like a winner. It's so fucking simple. It's so simple. But when you have these, they're easier to access because they're pain. They cause pain.
Mm-hmm.
You're like, God, man, I don't want to be in pain, like physical pain. I want to be tired. I don't want, like when I was like overweight, I was 280. And I'd like go over to tie my shoes. I'm like, I didn't know I had that fucking organ. Shit's all squishing up in there.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I can't even play with my kids. This is terrible. And so it's easy because there's pain. There's emotional pain, mental pain, like parental pain and like me being a failure as a father and all this pain. Easy to see that if you poke yourself in anywhere and you pinch your skin, that's what you're going to focus on. So we just use that. It's easy. It's the easiest part of it. Then once you have that, it's like, here's this treasure trove of resources to be like, oh, I'll pick that one. I'm going to take this. Thank you. We'll just talk about like being broke. Thank you being broke because you gave me this whole, that's the box that being rich lives in.
Yeah.
Thank you. And then as soon as that happens, flush it. You don't need it anymore. You don't need to hang on to that shit like some badge of honor, some pride, like, oh God, look at how woe is me in my life. Fuck that, it's gone. Now we put all of our energy and narrow focus on that target, on that bullseye. That's what we do. And then we apply the principles and stuff to just successively and progressively build on that. And people are like, it's too small, it's too insignificant. No, it's not. Do you know? Tell me one thing in this universe that's big. Nothing is. Nothing. It's all a bunch of tiny little particles smashed together to make seemingly bigger shit. Everything's tiny. Everything. And so how can your first step of first piece of progress ever be insignificant? Because without that core of that little miniature planet you're building, you will never amass the gravity to get more of those particles to make shit bigger.
Yeah.
Whether it's a penny or a fucking muscle or a thought or a belief system, it's never insignificant. You gotta, that's the most important one. Like when people get sober, like, yeah, man, I got like whatever, like 15 days. I'm like, you're a fucking champion. I got like 30 years, whatever. And I'm like, but you're a champion. That's the most critical part. And they think it's insignificant. And it's not. It's the most significant piece. It's the core of that little.
It is the hardest part.
Yeah, it's the hardest part. Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Once you're. Yeah, I'm like 14 years removed. Like, it's not even a thought anymore.
Exactly.
Doesn't you know mean, what I mean? Like, yep. Congratulations on year 15. Oh, didn't think about it last year.
Yeah, exactly.
Thank you.
There's a mountain that first 2 weeks, though.
Yeah, exactly.
15 years of what again? Yeah. Oh, yeah, I forgot. Yeah, exactly. But so we start this process, and it's just like the Power Life principles and processes I teach in my different trainings and stuff. And it's just incredible what happens, because at first, a lot of people just like, if they don't understand,
no,
they either trust me or something, but they keep going. Like, I don't know what's happening. I don't know. And then all of a sudden, boom, they get something. They're like, holy shit. And I've watched people. I watch people go from like suicidal alcoholics to getting sober, getting out of a toxic marriage, building a multimillion dollar business in a matter of just years.
Yeah.
And then another beautiful girl, she was a
really shy, kind of, she had like a couple of like sick stuff, like illness stuff, really shy, really meek, but she was an aspiring musician. And I'm like, look, just apply this. And she did, and she trusted it, and she did the work, and she did the shit no one else wants to do. She did the bullshit part of the work too, because that's part of it. That's the part people don't want to hear.
Right.
But it's, you got to do it. You got to lay the foundation if you want the fucking building. And so she did it. And then, man, she got her songs on the radio. She's like recording with the Billboard Top 40 art, like the band The Fray. She's doing music festivals. She got music videos. She's got it's insane. A musician to get her song on the radio, from an aspiring musician to that. That's crazy. And so these people that stick with it and apply it.
It's not though. If they do the work.
If they do the work.
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
That's it. The average mind would say that's crazy because they don't understand the power of the work.
Yeah. And what's driving that? That's what I focus on. It's like, it's you. It's you. And the more you get clarity and the more you get familiar with this eternal force and power that you are, like it's the ambient energy that we live in is so powerful. A cubic meter of it will boil the Earth's oceans instantly. That's the shit feeding life to us. It's like we're limited in terms of our ability to even like absorb and access this shit and use it. Like if we took a teaspoon of that shit and ate it, we'd just blow up. Right. but that's what feeds life to us. And it's this ether and this is a little bit wooey, but I'm not the woo woo guy. Obviously I think people know that, but everything's connected. Like you can do this and you can feel the air. It's stuff. It's, you can't see it, but you can feel it. Right.
Yeah.
And it's all connected. So when you get to the point where you can really get present with yourself, this is what people tell me more than anything else. Like, Mike, for the first time in my life, I feel like I crashed into myself. I feel like I know me.
Yeah.
I'm like, yeah, because that you're seeing yourself for the first time. You see like a little pixel of your light leave your heart. And you're like, whoa, look at that. Like, yeah, that's you. There you go. There's a whole bunch more in there. And your whole life purpose is to keep spilling that shit out and creating. That's what it is. And so, but when they get to this point where they can be present with it, you have access to infinite wisdom, knowledge, inspiration, whatever. And then, and again, the process I teach, it activates, it's not a law of attraction, it activates the attraction mechanism where you've completed the circuit of power from your mental energy system to your emotional energy to your physical energy. When you complete, I call it the energy triad system. When you complete that circuit of power, it's like it's completed. Now this energy is flowing around this and it kind of like powers up the generator inside and you become attractive. And it's the weirdest thing. It's not really weird. It's predictable actually. But you'll watch people be like, this happened and this happened to me. This is how I know this, because I was like just in rehab and I just got, you know, I was just getting sober and I was doing this stuff. And people like ran away from me when I come in the room. Like, oh fuck, here's that guy, and they run away. But this one dude's like, you know what, man, you're trying. And he's like, I paint houses. Do you want a job? I'm like, yes, please, can I have a job? He's like, yeah, you can sweep the floors in the houses. I'm like, thank you. You know, but he's like, there's something about you, man. It's just that little bit of attraction, that energy people are drawn to. We all know what the hell it is. We all felt it. But, you know, they come in and they that's how success starts chasing you.
Yeah.
Because they're like, I don't know what it is, but I want you around because something about you feels right, or I feel better, or whatever, or even who cares what the justification is. But they come in and they offer you opportunities and they offer you resources and they offer you things that come with them that you would never otherwise have.
Yeah.
You know, like people who are into race cars, like, I got a race car track. Holy shit, I like to build race cars. Well, we should hook up and go have lunch, right? And now all of a sudden, both people are supporting each other's ambitions and dreams and desires and hobbies and habits and things that light them up inside. It's that attraction mechanism. But if you don't complete that circuit, mental, emotional, and physical, then you haven't, because a lot of people do the om, and they visualize shit, and a lot of people, oh, I feel the beach, whatever, and they open up their eyes like, welcome to Wendy's, can I take your order, please? Like, that, you're not living that shit. This is not real. And then a lot of people are just grind, physical, physical, physical. It takes all three of these things to complete that circuit.
Right.
And it doesn't take a shitload of it. It just takes consistency. And then this is where people are like, what's happening, Mike? And I'm like, yeah, it really can be a problem. You have too much opportunity. It's like you're bobbing and weaving and ducking and dodging shit. That's a good problem to have.
Yeah.
And it's not easy to get there. But it's absolutely predictable that you can anytime, every time, if you are consistent and persistent with it and you focus on the thing that is the power, which is you. It's not anything out there. You just complete all this stuff and get this shit working right, how it's designed to work. And human beings are amazing creatures. when you were operating as we're designed to operate. It's like there's shit that I will not talk about unless I have like the only reason I talk about it because I have witnesses. Yeah. If I didn't have witnesses, there's no way in hell I'd say this stuff because you're fucking crazy. Like we went up to Farmington Canyon in Farmington, Utah.
Right.
Yeah. North,
right? Yeah.
They had those big balls, you know, the big things up there.
Oh yeah.
On the back side of that, there's this big snow cornice at the and after the snow melts, it's still packed up there, and you can run and jump off that bitch, and it's like 100-150 foot fall, but you land in like 60 feet of powder, just whoosh, like you're landing on a cliff. So fun, man. We go up there and jump.
Hell no.
It was so fun. And then I had the record, and my friend's like, I'm going to beat you. And he beat me. I'm like, oh, fuck no, dude. Ego. Here we go. And so I just took off running, man, and I just hurled off that thing. I'm like, yeah, fuck. Oh, shit. I knew I went too far because it's ice after that.
Right.
And I'm like, son of a bitch, went flying over. I'm like, God damn it, God damn it. And I hit the ice. And I just, my feet went out from under me. My head just went bam on this ice. And I'm like, oh shit, slid down. They all came down. Are you okay? I'm like trying to stand up. I just kept falling. I'm like, I can't stand up. I got like knocked. I got a concussion. And it's like Mike Tyson hit me or something. I'm like, I can't get up, man. I want to, but I can't. And they're like, you okay? I'm like, yeah, I'm fine. Just let me rest for a minute. And then I got to the point where I could get up. I'm like, holy shit. You guys are never fucking beating that. We went back to the campground and that night, and they were all drinking beer or whatever. We're sitting by the fire and I'm playing my guitar. And just like by the fire, playing my guitar. I have no idea this is happening. My equilibrium is gone. I don't know which way's up or down, whatever. I just fucking like, and I fall face first in this fire. 4 foot flames. It's been burning all day. Thick ass embers, face first in this fire. I'm like, shit. And I don't know what the hell is going on. I have no like spatial awareness because I had a bad concussion. My friend's like, you're in the fire, bro. I'm like, I know, get me out of the fucking fire. So they go, oh shit, they put their beers down. I was in that thing for probably like, I don't know, 8, 10, 12 seconds maybe. And they pull me out. And it's I don't know how to explain it. And if I didn't have witnesses, I wouldn't say it because it's crazy. But they're like looking at me, examining me. You okay? I'm like, yeah, I think so, man. I'm like, well, I'm fine. Not one hair of my body was singed. Not one fucking hair. My head, my face, my arms, nothing. I'm like, what the hell? My friend's like, dude, you're a freak, man. What are you? You're a freak. I'm like, I don't know. Fuck you. Give me my guitar. Because I felt weird. I was like, this is weird, man. I should be like burned up or something. Nothing. And I'm like, what was that? And only explanation I can have is I think that, and I don't know. It was completely just like random thoughts and shit. I don't know. But like when that happens, if you have enough capacity for energy, I think maybe like a little instant, like a little force field of energy came out or something. Cause that shit's happened. This weird stuff happens in my life so much that I'm like, there's something going on here. I don't know what it is, but it's only when like that whole thing's connected and you've been doing it for a while and that kind of stuff. So I don't know what that is. I mean, and then cracking a windshield by pointing at it. That was a weird, I was talking to my wife in the car and I was telling her a story, which is another weird story. I was in Thailand with my friends and I'm telling them about these principles and stuff. And I'm like, yeah, and I had a coin in my hand. And I'm like, and that's it. And the coin just sat there like 1,000, 2,000, 3,000, and then it fell. I'm like, so it's simple. And they're like, all looking at me like I'm a freak. I'm like, what? Like simple, says the guy who just made a fucking coin levitate. Like, nah, get out of here, whatever. And so I'm telling Kelly about, again, witnesses where I wouldn't even say it. I'm telling Kelly about this and I'm like, and then I went bam and I pointed at her windshield and we're just sitting in the car, psh, windshield splits. I'm like, son of a fucking bitch. Sorry. And she's like, how did you do that? Do it again. I'm like, well, dude, I can't just pull lightning out of my ass. I don't know how to do that. Like, it's not something like I have something.
I'm expecting a lot from you tomorrow.
Yeah, I know. No, yeah, I can't just do it on command. Lot. I think it's just like this buildup of energy and then this like this release of it. Yeah. That's all I can explain. I don't know what it is. But I do believe that it's just some way that if you can calibrate yourself to be as natural as we are and have that energy just flowing through you, and then you get this burst of like a, almost like a expansive thing or like
a surge.
Thank you. That's the word I'm looking for. A surge. It creates something. And if it's focused, it does stuff. It does stuff. I don't know. And people are like, teach me that. I'm like, nope, I can't. I have no idea how to do it. I can't just do it on command. Just if I'm in it and I'm not thinking, I'm just in this moment. I'm boom, 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 boom. There's nothing going on up here. And it's just an experience. Then that kind of shit happens. But if I think about, okay, I'm gonna make the water move. Nope, it ain't happening. It's not happening. There's no way. It's not like some magic power or whatever. I think it's just a capacitor holding up energy, and then the surge, boom, and then that something happens. So I think that's
I think that's something that can happen for probably a lot of people. Doing it on command and making it something that's like a part of your daily life.
Some David Blaine shit?
Yeah, yeah. Some real David. Yeah, I don't fucking know. It's weird.
That man. David Blaine shit's fucking fake, though. So yeah. I went to his magic show. And I was disappointed as fuck. Oh, yeah.
I thought it was cool. Mind break! You know, like I thought it was cool for a second. I watched a few times. I'm just like, dude, that is fucking badass. He's doing that shit. You know, and the whole time your mind doesn't want to believe it. You're like, there's no way. There's no way. There's no way. But you can't take your eyes off of that shit.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You're like, but what if? You know what I mean? Yep. Like you just go back and forth with yourself. My lady gets me tickets for my birthday a long fucking time ago. And we go. Fucking disappointing as shit. There was nothing special about it. And the very last thing that he did, dude, it was like a 30-minute buildup.
Yeah.
It was a build. What I'm about to do. And then nobody's ever done this. Not even Houdini dared to attempt. You know, I'm like, fucking A, here we go. We're getting our money's worth, the grand finale. Watch closely. You know, I'm like, I am. Yeah. I have been, you know. And right. And again, it's about to watch closely. All of a sudden, it was like 1,018 wheelers just are flashing their headlights at you. Literally, they go like that and they flash lights right in your eyes and you're going like this. Like, and then all of a sudden, he's like out of like these shackles.
So like you're blinded.
I couldn't fucking see it. Nobody told me to bring my shades, okay? I wanted to see what Houdini hasn't done.
You know? Like, we'll just blind him and do it while they're blind.
Like, watch closely. Oh, what the fuck? It was shitty. So, sorry. I'm not the biggest fan.
Yeah.
That's funny. You know.
Segue for what people always say, magic. I'm like, magic's not real. Magic's an illusion. That's it. It's magical. Magical is real because it's an experience.
Yeah.
You can have a magical kiss or you can have a baby. It's a magical experience. But magic, like, where's the magic?
You can trick the mind easy.
Easy.
I mean, look at how many people are walking through life as zombies. Yeah. That's the system tricking a mind that's all they're capable of.
Yep.
Right? Like, it's not that difficult to. You know, I mean, hell, even as kids, we had wet dreams, dude. Nothing was going down.
Yeah, why'd that stop?
Sure.
Yeah. Kind of ripped off in life.
Sleep on your belly, hard mattress, bro. Works every time. Go to shitty hotels. Zero thread count. Yeah. It'll push back.
Trev will teach you how to get those.
But what I'm saying is like, dude, like your mind. Or showing up to the bus stop naked. Like, you wake up in a panic and thinking that it's real. Like, that just shows you that your mind can be tricked, you know? And that's all magic really is.
Yeah,
you know, exactly. It was super disappointing. I wanted to believe it.
Yeah.
Until I got flashed.
You got blinded by it. Blinded. A lot of people want to believe in magic because it's easy.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
And people.
It's true.
And people. That's the thing. People. You do this long enough, you see people like they like want this. They want superpowers. They want like how to do this.
That's another way to escape of reality. Yes, really. Exactly. And anything like now you're living in a fantasy land that doesn't exist because reality sucks.
And then you don't have to be accountable.
Yeah.
Because it's like it's impossible anyway. You already know that. But I tell people all the time, like, you have superpowers. Even just understanding. Again, it's a not bastardized word, but very common perspectives. Like. What does that mean? It means you can make anything mean whatever the fuck you want it to mean. You can see anything in anything. And one of the things I teach is a little algebra formula. And it's out of context, so it won't make too much sense, but it kind of does. It's like, how can X help and support Y? X being a resource, Y being your target. And people are like, what do you mean? I'm like, okay, so how can donuts help me lose weight? It's all about perspective. They're like, what? I'm like, yeah, it's impossible. I'm like, no, it's not. Like, what do you mean? I'm like, if you train your mind to be able to make anything serve you in supporting what you want, then everything in this world will be a resource for you. Everything.
Run until you have low blood sugar.
Right.
That donut will be great for you.
The donut. No, and they go, how? I'm like, go get the thing of Krispy Kremes. Open that bitch up. It's all gooey and smells delicious. And I always want a donut when I say this. I'm like, you know, whatever. And, go in there and grab that sucker and look at it. It's like, ooh, goddamn, but don't eat it. Put on your fucking gym shoes and run to the furthest dumpster you can find and slam dunk that bitch in a symbolic gesture of victory and go back and do that shit 11 more times. You just use a dozen donuts to help you lose weight.
There That's you stupid. Go. Yeah.
And I'm like, is it? Is it? Because it's just a resource and it's just a goal. It's just a perspective.
Run a mile and throw the donut.
Yeah.
And then do it 11 yeah, more times.
Exactly.
Like you're 12 miles deep.
Or put that shit down. Yeah. Do push-ups while you eat it, man. Yeah. Whatever you want to do. You can. Anything can be a resource to help you if you know how to look at it. Right?
Yeah. So if you're using it for the right tool, right? Yeah. As a tool.
As a tool.
Right. As we talked about.
Yep, exactly.
You know?
Exactly.
But most of us use it like the barbecue set tools.
Yeah, barbecue and, set.
You know, we luckily have friends like you that teach us how to use the tools correctly. Yeah. Well, he didn't even do that for me. He just did it, you know? So.
Well, like you said, the whole duality is basically what you're teaching people of this. And I mean, I really liked when you were talking about, you know, hey, thanks, shitty. Now I see great, right? Like that's what people, so many people are missing. Mm-hmm. And so I think it's amazing that you're teaching people that. Cause I mean, really that is the big secret people are looking for. It's like, man, if I can be grateful for this and see this and now discover that what I really want is this, it's like game over, man. Now you have the target to put your focus on and go get what you want in life. Yep. Right. And so, I mean, dude, what an awesome episode.
Oh yeah.
You know what I mean?
Oh,
yeah. But you talked a little bit about your book. Like what's the name of it?
The Power Life Principles.
Power Life Principles. Just like your Facebook group.
Yep.
Yeah.
So how do you have like an actual Facebook and Instagram? Do you do the social media
thing? Yeah, I'm in his group, dude.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So I know that there was a group, but like, are you active on social media? Is that like something that you do, you know?
Yeah.
You vibe with like, I'm not a social media guy.
I don't do a ton. Yeah.
It doesn't feel like that either in your, in your community.
Yeah. Right? And I don't
just keep
play
it real,
the game.
Right?
Like, exactly. Yeah. I'm just like, this is,
what's
see
up? What's up, guys? What can I do to serve? Right.
Pretty much just show up in that capacity. Yeah. Right? So it's not like some schedule that whatever. I just whatever. What you see, what you get. So, yeah, I do have social media. That's what I primarily use to communicate with people.
Cool, man. Well, guys, make sure you take time, check him out. He's obviously been a treat today. We've had some laughs. There's obviously some nuggets in there throughout some of the fun conversations that we had. And also, I mean, before we even hopped on, like I shared with you guys, the reason why we bring people on to share their stories is because there's somebody that was Mike many, many years ago that needs to know that there is a way out. There's things that you can do. You're far more in control than you even believe or even know at this point based upon your biased about self that was given to you by somebody else, right? And that's really what it comes down to. So, dude, we appreciate you. We appreciate you coming to serve our group. And serve the people that listen to our podcast. So guys, make sure that you share this podcast, you review the podcast. Other than that, we'll see you guys next week.
Make sure you guys go find Mike, right? It's Kemsky, K-E-M-S-K-I, right?
Yes.
Mike Kemsky.
Yeah, usually all that stuff's in the show notes. All that stuff's in the show notes, all there, you know. Yeah, so make sure you check him out, dude. He's an awesome guy.
Thanks for being on.
He's built to serve, no doubt. So we appreciate you, man.
Thanks, guys.
See you guys next week.
Peace.